Good afternoon, everyone. Allison Scoburg here with Consolidated Planning Group. Thank you for taking the time to join us today. I always like to start with a couple of housekeeping items. First, I would like to thank all of our presenters for being here with us today. Today, we are doing a panel webinar of recreational and extracurricular activities. And so each of the people that are here with us today, they represent different companies, different organizations. They don't work for us, we don't work for them. We've all come together to share this information with you today. Today's meeting is being recorded and everybody is going to get a copy of the slides. So all of the contact information and details will be in those slides. Today we are in webinar mode, and what that means is that we cannot see you or hear you, but we do know you're there, and we're glad that you're here with us today. And we ask that if you have questions, if you will put your questions in the chat box today. Each of our presenters will be monitoring the chat box for your questions and will answer as many questions as they can. So I'd like to just share just a little bit more about who Consolidated Planning Group is and what we do. You may have attended some of our webinars in the past. We do a lot of educational webinars during the week, usually from 12 to 1. Surrounding topics on planning for a loved one that has a disability. We also have a YouTube channel where all of our past webinars live. And if you can think of the topic, it's probably out there. We have over 400 webinars and educational topics in helping you plan for your loved one with a disability. Such things as SSI and Medicaid, SSDI and Medicare, Medicaid waivers, you name it, it's out there, special needs trust, guardianship, things like that. The truth is as a parent myself with kids with special needs, that it's tough. Navigating all of this stuff is tough, and trying to keep everything in the right buckets and make sure that I'm preserving eligibility for state and federally funded programs. There's so much to think about. And so our YouTube channel and these webinars were honestly just born out of my own frustration on how difficult everything is when it comes to planning. So at Consolidated Planning Group, we have over 30 years of experience. We're an advisory and consulting firm when it comes to planning for special needs. We're nationally certified as Social Security advisors and members of the Special Needs Planning Academy. So we help people plan for the future. We help answer questions like who's going to take care of my loved one when I'm gone or when I no longer can? How much money do I need to fund a special needs trust? How do I retire and stay retired and have enough money in retirement and still have enough money to pay for the future care needs of my loved one with a disability when I'm gone? We help people open ABLE accounts. We do a lot of transition planning, and we do a lot of advocacy by way of our webinars. And we just like to mention that fewer than 0.1% of all financial advisors are nuanced in special needs. If you have a loved one with a disability, it's important to work with a specialist to make sure that you have money in the right buckets and to preserve eligibility for state and federally funded programs. And so I always like to also talk about what we do versus what a special needs attorney or an estate planning attorney does, because a lot of times there's confusion on what our role is and what their role is. So an estate planning attorney or a special needs attorney, they're going to be your legal documents. I always say they're the paper and we're the money, okay? They're going to be the legal documents, the will, the guardianship, the special needs trust, those types of legal documents that are totally necessary. But we're the money. How much money do we need to fund them? How do we fund them? How do we manage those assets? We're the money side of things. So when it comes to planning, you need both an estate planning attorney and a special needs planner as well. So I always just like to mention that, because we get a lot of calls, people saying, hey, I need to set up guardianship. And we refer them to the attorney, and the attorney gets a lot of calls of how much money do I need to fund the special needs trust, and they send them our way. So that's kind of how that works. But because your situation is specialized, we do recommend that you work with a specialist, specifically an attorney that is nuanced with people with disabilities, as opposed to a generalized attorney, a financial advisor that is nuanced in special needs, as opposed to a generalized financial advisor. You'll be glad that you did. Okay, so having said that, we had a couple of panelists today that had some unforeseen things come up today, and they were not going to be able to be with us today. And so I'm going to be discussing autism fitness. Eric Chesson is the founder of Autism Fitness, and so what they do is they do a worldwide consulting and certification program, and the cost is going to vary and depending on the services, but they can certify parents, they could certify teachers or other coaches or gym ownerships, things like that. They certify basically people to do their autism fitness, and those can be done in your community, in your own home, or at your school. Maybe you have a special needs school. So they provide these certifications. Their website is pretty informative. And so it's just talking about fitness being a life skill, not just a recreational activity. And it is just really, really helpful to improve on the physical, behavioral, and cognitive well-being, over a lifetime for an individual on the spectrum and neurodivergent population. So they have a proven science, and their coaching is second to none, and they've got a lot of positive behavior supports. But I think the cool thing that I took away from this, he did present with us in the past, is that that they can do some parent coaching. So if this is something that a parent wants to get certified and have community classes and things like that, there's all different levels of certification that you can do with Autism Fitness. Check out their website, autismfitness.com. You can email eric@autismfitness.com or reach out to him directly at 516-840-7821. And again, that is Autism Fitness, and do check out their website. I thought it was pretty cool. So having said that, I would like to turn it over to John Watson with Bloom Fitness. John, thanks for being here with us today. Tell us about Bloom Fitness.
Yeah, thanks, Allison. Yeah, Bloom Fitness is a group fitness mostly program for people living with an intellectual and developmental disability diagnosis. And we have a mantra. The mission. The mission is to lead all people living with an IDD diagnosis to choose a lifetime of fitness. And the choose part is the most important part of our program. We've been doing it about 8.5 years. And what we've learned from observing the IDD community, in other words, what they want, is that, and what drives their behavior is, or really all of our behavior, is making an emotional connection. And we have this trademark mantra, it's called lead with heart. And that's really what that's telling everybody in the program and telling us as we continue to improve our program. So what does that look like? So we're saying we want to make an emotional connection with them. We say that we're trying to create a sense of pride, belonging, and of being loved. And what you might find interesting about that, there's nothing in there that says fitness, right? Not yet. And what we've learned is that we can provide, connect with them on any level like that. Well, they'll show up happily to exercise on a regular basis. And it's proven out to work pretty well. Our retention rate is about 96%. And I think that to me shapes all people, where most folks don't show up in the morning, wake up in the morning and go, I'm ready to work out. There's a few, but we've learned is that if you can make it something, a deeper connection, then people, will work out for long periods of time. So how is the program delivered? Is that we have live classes that happen, in person, and I'll tell you about what that actually looks like in a minute. We have a library of videos that are for the population. It's in yoga, Pilates, dance, strength. We have a chair only class, and I always forget one or two things that we do. And then we have Bloom Live. That's our trademark. That's our live virtual class. And so many, many, many people use our videos. And but, it's always better to have a live instructor, on the other end. But a lot of the ways we make that emotional connection is through, I'll give you one example, is through our goal system. So is that as you go to class, you earn things. And again, we use that word. We don't give you anything, you earn things. Sometimes that's a certificate, but sometimes there's shirts, and other things that represent, what they've accomplished. And so that is just a kind of a high level of how we drive that high retention rate. We're in about 40 something locations now, but let me define a location. Those are partnerships with service providers. Your adult may be in a service provider. We also now are in some high schools where they're in the transitional learning. And so we partner with these organizations to help them have a successful program for the people they serve. A lot of the window in the Bloom, and we have is technology, but we also have people that support those different partnerships to make sure they're successful. But we have an app, and you can download it on whatever, an Android and Bloom. It's look up Bloom Fitness, and it'll pop up. What I'll tell you though is that we've had the app for a couple of years now. And it works. It's there for two reasons: to give people access to our content, and so we know somebody's taken a class. We can't do the goal system if we don't know somebody's taken a class. And it does those two things. Let me tell you what it doesn't do: is that there's some individuals. So they're these group fun with friends doing all this, at these locations. But there's some that want to use it on their own. We do have some individuals that use our app and dial into Bloom Live or use the videos. That's fine. Right now it's free and stuff, but it's clunky. And what we say is it's not really accessible for a high percentage of the population. However, in July, the next version, and I think, I don't know, Allison, can you scroll down a little bit, see if it has some visual of it? It might not. If not, I can get that. Nope. I guess not. So I'll send you, it is beautiful, and it will be very accessible for a high percentage of the population. And certainly even for those individuals that might not be able to use the technology on their own, is that the caregiver should easily be able to use it. And so we are actually, that's version 2 that comes out in July, but we're also, let me just speak about version 3, because I think we got funding for that. We're a pure nonprofit. But to give you a vision of what Bloom is that will be more about creating the social aspect of the program. In other words, we all know I'm a parent. I have a 27-year-old young lady that's one of the joys of our lives. But isolation's an issue. And so we are driving the social aspect in a safe way. There's a whole nother story behind that, but that's where we want to go. That's a part of, social is an emotion, right? I feel like I have friends. I feel like I'm not alone. Those type of things. So that's as Bloom grows, that's where we'll go. And I kind of wrap up with this. Right now, in the physical locations, we're in Texas, North Carolina, Missouri, just opened in Florida, and we're in Atlanta. And so the message that you might take away from there is that if you have a school or a service provider that you might be connected with, that you might have your person with, that you can connect them with, connect us with them, and there's no limitation on geography. And then the other thing is that I would say, even though feel free to download our app if you want, but if you're really interested in it being as an individual, is that I would just ask you to send me an email and we'll put you on the list and probably we'll end up because we're in beta test now. But when we feel like very confident, we say, this is awesome, it works great, and we got to figure it out, then we would be happy for you to use it then. And again, our partners do pay a very nominal fee. It only pays for a small percentage of what the program actually costs. But right now, individuals don't pay anything. And so for the foreseeable future, you can use the app and you can rock on, and your person, even if they're using it on their own, will get the awards and all that thing. And let me just say one last thing. In version two of the app, one of the things about fitness is that, like if I'm using Peloton, Peloton has to appeal to me as an individual for whatever reason to get me to use it. One of the benefits that we have as parents, caregivers, whatever, your designation might be, is that you're in the game with the athlete. And by the way, there is no limitation on ability level in our program. Everybody in our program, regardless of ability level, is an athlete. But one of the technology will do is that when your person accomplishes whatever goal, you're going to get a notification to say, hey, Susie just completed 50 classes. And when you see her, you might want to congratulate her. And then, oh, by the way, you should be congratulated because for supporting Susie and her health. So hope I didn't go too long, Allison, but that's kind of it in a nutshell.
John, I love what you guys are doing. So, in a nutshell, bloomfitness.org is a 501c3. Nominal charges for organizations that would like to put the programs in place. You work with organizations to put the programs in place, and you are growing your locations. You've got locations, 40 locations in a variety of states, including Texas, North Carolina, I think you said Georgia, I forget, in Missouri, I think you said. But you have classes online, you have an app, the app is getting updated, and this looks fun. But one thing that you said that I really love is like the community on the version three that you're thinking about and kind of connecting others, because there it is so true of having friends and connections with others and the importance of that. And I love that you guys are integrating that with everything else that you're doing. So thank you for being here with us today. Guys, if you guys have questions for John, go ahead and put them in the chat box, and John will be watching out for that as well. Thank you, John.
Can I just say one thing on what you just said is that we think about it, what our intent is for a lifetime of fitness. That's one of the things. And I'm sure we'll stub our toe and all, but every place we've started, and this goes back 8.5 years, where Bloom is still going. So just think about it in that context. So anyway, thank you.
It's working. That's awesome. I love to hear that. Thank you. Mitch, it is my pleasure for you to talk about Joey's Journeys. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you guys have got going on and how you came about.
Great, Allison. Thank you very much. My name is Mitch Levinson. I'm the executive director of Joey's Journeys. We are a 501c3 charity organization, also, and we're very passionate about giving the special needs community the same opportunities as everyone else has and to help teach others about inclusivity. So, our organization helps raise awareness and creates lasting memories through travel for the special needs community. And we've already been successful at starting to teach autistic adults to learn how to go on vacation and have a positive experience in a flea market when you're in Mexico with people that are trying to get you to pay as much money as possible. And bartering is important with someone who is a giver and has a special personality that wants to please everyone. And that creates a very interesting environment, especially for special needs adults. So we have also started to create this community of families that like to travel together because our families should experience the same thing as everybody else. So we started in February as a charity. And our inaugural cruise is this New Year's. It's a 7-day cruise out of Galveston. And if you're interested in hearing about it or going on it with us, you know, just contact me about it. But really what our organization is designed to do, because we're so new, is, you know, help the community with what they need, what you need. So right now we're really more in a research mode where we're trying to understand. I have an autistic son, stepson, and I know what our challenges have been when we've traveled. And he's 20 now. He actually just got the 2024 Special Olympics of Texas Most Inspirational Athlete Award a couple of weeks ago in San Antonio. So Joey is a very special person. He was up on stage. You can go to our YouTube to see him deliver his acceptance speech. It was awesome. Actually, it was a great experience for him. But because we're so new and we know what it took for us to travel, we're trying to understand what the community needs for travel. So there is the link at the very bottom. It's joeysjourneys.org/survey. Most importantly of anything today, we're asking for your input. Please go to that site and fill out the form to tell us what kind of challenges you've had and where an organization like ours can help you. Obviously, you know, we'd love to have your financial donation, and we're, you know, we started in February and we raised almost $1,000, which is really great. It's you know, we have a pretty big goal for what we want to do. But what is it that we need in this organization? Is it, you know, a little bit of discount on travel, or is it, you know, when we go to Mexico or some international travel or somewhere locally, do they understand what it means to have a guest like ours? Do we need to create an excursion where we contact the local special needs community and have and pay someone there who understands what we need to take us on our own beach excursion or our own hiking trip? Or do we need see-through kickboards or whatever it is? So what is it that we can do to help you? That's the kind of input we're looking for right now, in addition to your financial donation. Right now, our research is more important than anything, because like I said, we just started in February. If I could fast forward 5 years, what I would love our organization to be is, you know, 2 times a year, we have an international event where we travel somewhere, whether it's a cruise like this one or some of our families, you know, they get seasick. So we would do a destination location, like, you know, I don't know, beaches seems to be inclusive friendly. And anyway, so twice a year, do an international one. And then over the summer months or around the United States, have kind of Joey's Journeys certified locations where they know what it takes to have a guest like ours come to their campground or their theme park or, you know, wherever they are. So what is it that we can do to help you? That's really what I'm asking for today. We'd love to have you donate financially. We'd love to have you join us on the cruise. But if nothing else, please click on the link and go and fill out our survey. Thank you.
Thank you, Mitch. I love what you guys are doing as well. And I think it's so important. You know, a couple weeks ago, I heard from someone who was calling, kind of asking for some referrals because they had traveled internationally and the airlines lost their expensive wheelchair. Like, you know, my daughter's wheelchair costs more than her car. Okay. So, and it was a big, big deal, and it was lost for quite some time. And whenever it came back, it was damaged, right? And it's really affected this person's life adversely. So I'm thinking of that. And I recently just came back from traveling and was thinking, you know, because of that conversation that I had, like, we purchased a travel wheelchair, like, oh no, we're never taking this custom wheelchair anywhere we go ever, unless it's in the car, like not on the airline, like where you lose control of that. But one question that I had that came up in this last week was, you know, a person that has an electronic wheelchair, you know, like, I mean, this is like a for real deal, like this is a big, big thing. How, I've never seen one of those on the plane. Like what happens? Where does that go? Can they just not fly? Is there a special, you know, plane for that? So that's something actually it's on my radar to do some more research on, because of that phone call, I wanted to kind of peel the layers of the onion back. And it did, like I said, made me buy a travel wheelchair. So if they lose it, who cares? I just buy another one. But I had never even really fathomed the idea that the airline could, you know, lose a $20,000 wheelchair.
Yeah. And I don't have any idea about that. And those are exactly the kinds of questions that I want to hear the answers to, or not necessarily answers. What are the challenges, right? So having, you know, an answer from the airlines or from some travel organization about what you're going to do about, you know, that type of baggage, mm-hmm. you know, whether that's, you know, if you had a, you know, a kid in a stroller, you know, they're gonna, you know, check that bag at the gate and then have it for you when you get off. You know, what's the difference between something that's important to you or someone in a wheelchair? You know, how does it work? You know, if they're like I said, Joey's on the autistic spectrum. He's not in a wheelchair. He isn't blind. He doesn't have some of the other disabilities that we're trying to help solve problems for and be a resource to. So that's exactly why we're taking the time initially as we get started to understand, you know, what it is we can do to provide value to the community as we try to create this community of inclusive, like-minded people that enjoy having these experiences and creating memories.
For sure, Mitch. Guys, please do go to his survey, because I know all of you, because I learn so much from all of you all the time. I know all of you have some great ideas and have had some experiences in the past yourself with your loved one. So do fill out his survey for that. You'll get that in the slides. And again, I just like to remind everybody's getting a copy of today's slides and a link to the recording. So Melissa Powell with Dance Dynamics, thank you for being here with us today. You're on mute right now, so I'd like to turn everything over to you.
Thank you very much, Allison. Yes, I am Melissa Powell, and I am with Dance Dynamics. I am a special education teacher by day, and I teach at a competitive studio in the evenings. And my passion has always been individuals with disabilities. And so I went to the studio owners about 15 years ago, after I'd been there a few years, and said, I really want us to start a special needs dance program. There's nothing around for them, and I want to do this. And so we now have been operating our exceptional athlete program for 15 years. It is for male and female dancers with any type of developmental disability and any age range. We really are focusing on some of those basic skills when we work on things going across the floor. I can tell you that I have some dancers that start and they don't know how to skip yet. They don't know how to gallop. They don't know how to cross midline. And so when we're working across the floor, we're breaking down, what is the basic of a skip? How do we get there? And some athletes in our program might not ever get to skipping, but some of them do. And to watch them go from not being able to go across the floor and skip or gallop or do anything else, and then they develop those skills, it builds their confidence. And it's also great for their brain development. So we do a lot of self-expression in a positive atmosphere. We have improv time where dancers listen to the different types of music and what is it telling your body to do? What do you feel when you're dancing? I love how, you know, John was talking about like that emotional connection to fitness. That's what dance brings because we have that music and we don't stick to one type of music. I might have athletes that love country. I might have athletes that like hip hop. We might do classical ballet one time. So we offer a variety of dance genres as well. So basically, what is our program? We have two different options for our exceptional athletes. We have a recreational class that meets once a week. It's 45 minutes. It is $70 a month. And they get a t-shirt, they wear their shirt to class. And each week we focus on different skills. We warm up, we stretch, we go across the floor, and then we learn a different style of dance. There is no performance. It is strictly just a weekly class that they come to. Low cost, low commitment. It runs all year long. We also have our second option, which is our Shining Star Performance Team. We are a competitive dance studio. And if we go to a competition and there is another special needs dance team, then if there are special needs teams at competition, then we are an exhibition performance team. I typically have 20 to 25 dancers on that team. We pick one style of dance. Typically, pom is a good genre for male and female dancers. We have costumes, they come for choreography, they learn a routine, we perfect it all year. We really focus on them being that quality performance team when we get out there on that dance floor. It is $110 a month. It is an hour and a half class once a week. We also feel it's very important for that social connection. So this team has lots of things outside of their studio time every week. We have Halloween parties. We have a get together where we have a pool party. We host Christmas events. I also am very strong in believing about giving back to your community. So we do a lot of volunteering. We have a local organization that we go and we help them when they are passing out food or they're. So it's really more than just a class that you come to once a week. It's really becoming a family. We probably have about six or seven performances throughout our season. Our season runs December through April. And last year we were invited to go to the Dance Worlds that are held at Disney in Florida. And we were one of the five teams that was accepted. And so that was something big and fun that we got to do last year. We don't do that every year. It is a big expense. And so this year, all of our competitions will be in the Houston area, with one being up in the Dallas, Fort Worth area. So
Can I ask a question? So let me just kind of regurgitate what I heard. The rec runs all year and there's no competition, no, they get a t-shirt, no uniforms, no big expense like club, if you will. The Shining Stars is more like club, and there are costumes and other things and performances throughout the year, but there's also, and it's more expensive, but there's also a lot more activities for them to be involved in with the group as well. Someone asked if you're in Austin, where are you located? And if you're only located, let's say you're only located in the greater Houston area, can you help somebody find something like what you guys do in their area? Do you mind if they reach out to you and you can kind of help direct them in something similar in their area?
So unfortunately, there aren't a lot of dance programs. Now, there are a ton of special needs cheer programs that are all around the greater Houston area. We are located in the Spring Woodlands area, but I can tell you we do have some families that drive from Friendswood. We have some families that drive from Tomball, Navasota. to be able to come and participate in our program. I would be happy to help anyone that is looking for something like this. I have mentored a group up in Oklahoma that wanted to start a special needs dance program because one of our families moved up there. And so, yes, I am more than willing to help out in any capacity.
Wonderful. I love this and kind of moving, getting moving and the music and all of that stuff and the arts. It's really exciting. So thank you for sharing that. Again, if anybody has any questions, I want you to put your questions in the chat box. And again, if she's not in your area, you can reach out to her and she will look and see what she may be able to help you find in your area. Next, we're going to Richard Hurley Piano. Thank you, Richard, for joining us again. I know you joined us once before. Tell us a little bit about what you do and how you work. We've got you on mute right now. If I had a nickel for every time I talk on mute, we joke at my office and say, how many times can I talk on mute before 8 a.m.? And it's a lot.
Yeah.
All right, here you go, Richard.
Okay, so whether it's special needs or not, the biggest challenge in music education is we are teaching the largest generation of kids whose parents never learned music, okay? So we have designed a parent-friendly program that will help the parents learn as the kids go. Because if the kids are asking A, B, C, mommy, what comes after C? Mom can say D. 1, 2, 3, mom, what comes after 3? Mom can say 4. Mommy, what note is that? Mom doesn't know, okay? So it's a little piano program that is so simple that even the parents can join in and understand what's going on. And then the parents can support the program. We've taught over 400 kids. We've delivered 22,000 piano lessons. It's a very, very successful, battle-tested program designed for the special needs community. I teach at the Williams Community School here in Austin. It's a dedicated special needs school. I'd say about 75% of the school population is autism. And then the remaining 25% are a range of other disabilities, ranging from severe communication delay to reasonably high functioning kiddos, right? So they teach kids from the age of 3 through to 20. That's where I do the bulk of my teaching. I do a lot of online classes and I do a lot of in-home classes as well. I teach kids in New York online. I teach kids in Mexico online. So all of these aspects of the business have been completely tested. The new area that I want to move into is getting a little program for moms. It's a little group lesson online. So you can see how small this little keyboard is. And mom can sit with her kiddo on her knee and introduce piano at a much, much earlier age. Now, I'm not able to teach below, usually under 3, but if mom is up close and in the class, then that becomes possible. And that's why we're going for these tiny, tiny little keyboards. It's only a 25 key keyboard, it's super light, and mom can sit on the couch with that keyboard on her knee and join in a group class online. It's so simple, and get everybody started at the simplest level. Now, I teach right through from the very, very first keystroke to the most complex Chopin studies at the highest level, okay? If anybody knows the third movement of the Moonlight Sonata, you know how fast that goes. I've got one of my students working on those right now. And he started with me maybe 10 years ago and learned his very, very first keystroke with me. So it's right through the age. We're also working on building some apps. Our first attempts were not successful. And one of the things that I love about working with our kiddos is they can't lie to you. They will always tell you what you think. So our first apps, they just told me, not cool, not cool. So back to the drawing board. And so Chime Candy is our latest app there. We developed in Unity in the beginning. We've moved to Godot because it's completely free and the kiddos can download the Godot game making platform and learn how to make apps themselves. So that's a part of that's a new part of the game that we're going to integrate. Overall, it's an embarrassingly successful program, as everybody else is here, right? You know what the word battle tested means, okay? You go through your first few years and everything's going wrong, and then suddenly you get everything right. And just like everybody else, that's where we are. It's great to hear the success of everybody else. I'm delighted to meet all of you. And, you know, I wish you all the very best. We do online. Online really does work for our special kiddos. I know you think it can't, but it does. And we do in home. And then if you're in Austin, if you can get to the Williams Community School, we're on Duval and 183. We would be delighted to see you there as well. Thank you.
All right, so Richard, in-person classes in Austin at the Williams School, it was called the Williams School?
Williams Community School, that's right.
The Williams Community School, you do online courses as well, as young as age 3, and the age limit, there's no age limit. Your online classes are successful.
Yes.
And that's really, really exciting. Music is such a gift. And to me, the piano, I took piano lessons whenever I was a kid. The interesting thing is I took it for years and I play by ear. I couldn't ever read music. So eventually it got too hard and I couldn't play anymore because I couldn't read the hard stuff. but it was therapeutic. Playing music is therapeutic, and being able to play the piano or using that as something to calm yourself down, or, you know, just there's a lot of cool things that come with that. So I love what you're doing. And thank you again, Richard, for joining us again to share your organization with us. Okay, so next we are going to Nicole. Nicole, thank you for joining us today. You're here with Missouri City Parks and Rec. Tell us about your organization and what you guys do.
Hello, everybody. I'm Nicole McGee. Before I get started, if you hear any banging and or screaming, we have summer camps going on, so there's children everywhere outside of my office. But yes, Missouri City Parks and Recreation, we're very close to Sugar Land, Stafford, kind of in that area. Our Parks and Recreation Department is excited to offer programs and events that encourage active participation for youth and adults with varying levels of disabilities or limitations. We really just want to provide a safe space that gives fun, inclusion, and just kind of brings the community together. We have partnerships that happen with Special Olympics Texas. So right now we just started a young athletes program, and that is for kids ages 2 to 7. And that just kind of introduces movement, balance, coordination. And then by the end, they get a good feel of sports. What is a basketball? What is a football? How do we play that? While they're also focusing on how to balance with a basketball in hand. So really just building up those athletes so that when they turn 8, they can join the Special Olympics program. We also have a unified basketball team with our fire department and our police department that very extremely talented Special Olympics athletes come and play with the firefighters. And by the end, everyone is in a full sweat. It's really exciting to watch. And at the end of this season, they will have a big scrimmage against the firefighters and the police. And it's a wonderful event. We also offer programs such as BeFit Universal, which is a interval-based workout program, happens every Monday. We have a rhythm and drum circle. Everyone gets in a circle. We play music, drums, and they really just connect with the music. They're able to express themselves through music, instruments, and really just feel comfortable in a safe environment. We have adapted yoga. Happens every Wednesday. We have a wonderful yoga instructor. Her name is Miss Deborah. We also do things like adapted pickleball, various Special Olympics programs. They're one of our biggest partnerships. And in October, we have something coming up called a Boo Bash, which is just a big costume dance party. We're trying to get a lot of people in for the Boo Bash, just to all have fun, celebrate Halloween, wear your costumes, and have a lot of fun. Missouri City Parks and Recreation is a certified autism center. So 60% of the staff who work in the Parks and Recreation Department are trained in working with individuals who live with autism. So even our summer camps, any program that all of Parks and Recreation puts on, there's no one there that won't know how to work with people who live with autism. I think that's a really wonderful thing that Missouri City offers in our Parks and Recreation program, department. I haven't seen that a lot in partnering or in surrounding cities, but I'm hoping that I see it more often because I think it's really wonderful. We have various other programs that happen throughout the year. I just named some of our ones that are happening currently, but if you go to you can go to that website right there on the slide, but it looks really crazy. So I'm going to send the shortened one in the chat so it's easier to click on. But you can kind of peruse through there and see all of our programs that we offer. We are hoping to bring in some wheelchair sports very soon. I am a huge fan of wheelchair sports, always have been. And lots of other things, dance, fitness, and anything else that we want to try. We have adapted archery as well, bunch of different things, but seasonal right now is what I named.
So one of the things that I am thinking, Nicole, is that for the people that are on here that could be anywhere in the state, might even be out of state, is check with your local Parks and Rec to see if they have any programming specifically for individuals with a disability. And then furthermore, I know that Nicole would be able and happy to share how they have built this out in Missouri City. So anybody here that might have any connection to your local Parks and Rec that you want to learn more, or you're intrigued to build this out. Couple of things that are coming to mind of other areas and lists that you can look at, the ARC. There is an ARC chapter. ARC is big in Texas. ARC is all over the country. Some are bigger than others. But the ARC often has a lot of information on other recreational activities for individuals with disability. I know the ARC that serves our community, the Fort Bend County ARC, I know that they have a specific programming and activities for individuals with disabilities. They do a lot of stuff. So do check out the ARC. Also consider checking out Easter Seals as well, because they often have lists and other activities that are available. Some are through organizations that are like 501c3s. So there's either a nominal charge or no charge. Others are private. Private pay, but those are all worth checking into. And then the other thing is that I was thinking about is I did the Partners in Policy Making a couple of years ago for the state of Texas. And in one of the previous classes, there was their project was to create a chamber of commerce for individuals with disabilities. And so Houston actually has a disability chamber, and they have various organizations that have partnered with them that employ individuals with disabilities, that are disability friendly organizations. So you may want to check out the disability chamber. There's not very many. I think there's only three or four. The last I checked, there was only like three or four disability chambers in the US. So there needs to be more of that. But I love that you guys are taking strides, and I hope this becomes the Park and Rec mantra, that all parks and recs will have activities for individuals with disabilities. So thank you, Nicole, for being here. Do we have some additional, I just want to check the chat box. We've got some people have added some things, different dance organizations across the state. That may have some different dance organizations, and people have put their contact information in the chat box. Somebody is asking for anything in and around Baytown for 17 and up. I don't have anything right off the tip top of my head, but I would say do check with the ARC. Nicole, yes, tell us.
Yeah, it's not very close to Baytown, but in Pasadena, there is a Burn Cox Center, which is actually where I came from. I worked there for 10 years, and it is a recreation center solely for people who live with disabilities, 17 and up. They have different programs and summer camps that they offer, and we used to often work with Baytown. You can also check with their Parks and Recreation Department. I know that they were trying to build up their adaptive programs as well. And I don't know how far they got into that. But there are some surrounding cities. There's Deer Park as well that offers some adaptive programming.
In Beaumont, I know that I have actually traveled to Beaumont and was a speaker for this big disability conference that they had. And wow, there were so many professionals that serve individuals with disabilities in and around that county. I mean, there were probably 500 people in that room. And so I do know that they do a lot in the Beaumont area. So researching that a little bit more, and you can reach back out to us because we'll be happy to put you in contact with any of the contacts that we made from that activity. So we do have one more, and Addis was not able to be with us today. Addis is awesome. Addis himself, from an accident, is a quadriplegic, and he was a, you know, neurotypical functioning adult, and then due to some form of accident, he is, you know, fully in a wheelchair now, and he founded Able Mindset. And it is a creative arts and rhythm workshops that he has that promotes creativity and is enriching the lives of individuals with a disability. He's growing. He started this a few years ago, and he is in the greater Dallas Plano area. These activities are held at the library, and they're really awesome. Do check out his website, reach out to him directly. He apologizes that he couldn't be here today, but I myself have had the privilege of talking and going deeper with Addis, and let me just tell you, he's awesome. He is so awesome, and I love his energy and excitement and enthusiasm, and even though all the things that he's been through, he has a brilliant mind and knows himself what is needed out there, and has really put this together. So he's open to growing these this concept in other areas. He needs parent support or other volunteer supports to help. I mean, basically add water, you got soup. He'll give you everything you need to kind of, you know, handle some of these classes if you to get them moving in your area as well. So do check him out. And then one thing that you said, Nicole, and Mitch said this earlier as well, is the Special Olympics. I cannot tell you how many families that we have talked to over the years that their lives have been completely enriched by their involvement with the Special Olympics. So if you haven't looked into that, definitely look into it. It is meaningful. It gets them moving. They have community. They're a part of a team. It's really awesome on so many levels. So much so, I need to do a webinar with the Special Olympics, and we haven't done that. I definitely need to do that. Mitch, you can put us in touch with who we need to do that with. But so I'm so glad that you guys both mentioned that, because that is something that is definitely an activity that people can definitely get involved in. So when it comes to, you know, we've wrapped up from the activities for today, and all of this is going to live on our YouTube channel. You guys are going to get a copy of today's slides and a link to the recording. We encourage you to, you know, think about, you know, the future and special needs planning for your loved one. Developing a future care plan now is important. Do these things when you are of sound mind and body. Don't wait for the crisis to happen. Someone has a stroke, someone dies, somebody has a terrible diagnosis that we weren't expecting. We help people develop a plan, have a plan, and work your plan. And we help align the steps, because I know that it feels overwhelming of like, gosh, I have so much to do. I don't even know where to start. So we help line up what the plan looks like, and we help you figure out what is the first step you need to take, and then what is next and next. We want you to consider post-high school education and vocational options. One of the things that we've heard today is community, the importance of community and friends and belonging. And that is so important. And when we're in school, we have friends and we have community, and we go, we have a mission. We do this every day, Monday through Friday. But when school ends, what we're trying to avoid is that people are going home and they're sitting home and playing video games, and they have limited communication with others and limited interaction with others. That's what we're trying to avoid. So thinking about those post-high school options, there's 18 plus programs, there's transition programs, there's all kinds of stuff out there, but communicating those things early, if you're intending for your child to stay in the public school or private school post age 18 to 22. So start touring some of these transition programs. Some of the waiting lists on these transition programs are quite long, and they used to call them they changed the wording on the HCS waiver of what we can call places, but anyway, care facilities, whether it's a transition program or a residential living program, look at these programs, because some of these can have long waiting lists. Some of these programs are covered by HCS waivers or various waivers. Some of them are out of pocket, and some of them are a combination of the two. So checking those out. And then the other thing is for these residential living programs, a lot of our loved ones live with us, and we plan for them too, for as long as we can, as long as we're able. We have other families that we work with that they intentionally want their child to live outside of their home. They want them to have some autonomy from them. They want them to have friends and community. They want to have some semblance of their retirement that they had hoped for. But a lot of these residential places do have long waiting lists. So get yourself on the waiting list and give yourself the opportunity to say yes or no, or not just be told no because the waiting list is so long. So these are all things that we want you to think about. These are some things that we want you to keep on your radar. We have webinars on every single one of these topics, developing a special needs care plan, future care cost estimates, how much do we need to fund a special needs trust, Medicaid waivers and how to get on those interest lists if you're not already on them, understanding the differences between SSI and SSDI. There's so many acronyms in people for people with disabilities. It's ridiculous the number of acronyms that there are, and it's confusing, and some of them sound the same and they're not the same at all, and some of them don't sound the same and they're exactly the same. It's so confusing. Beneficiary designations, making sure we've got those set up properly, not to leave money directly to an individual with a disability as opposed to their third party special needs trust. Special needs trust, how to set them up, the differences between a first party and a third party. Guardianship, alternatives to guardianship, and post high school options. Guys, we have post high school options where we've done panels of programs for students that have intellectual disabilities, where each of the schools came in and said who, what, where, when, why, how much in the course of an hour. We have guardianship talks where we've partnered with an attorney where they talk about the alternatives to guardianship, what it takes to get guardianship. We have also done multiple housing webinars, again, panel webinars, for organizations that have housing like Marbridge or Brookwood or Daymark Living, just to name a few. But each of those organizations, they come on and they say who we are, where are we located, who we serve, how much do we cost, do we have a waiting list, do we take waivers in the course of an hour. So do check those out. They're all on our YouTube channel. We've tried to title those things in such a manner that is smart, and you can peruse the topics for the planning journey and where you're at. This link right here is for our upcoming webinars, and this will have all of the upcoming webinars that we have over the next month or two. We do work on a collaborative team here. We are nationally certified as Social Security advisors and members of the Special Needs Planning Academy. So should you work with us, you'll work with me, but you'll work with other members of our team as well. We stand ready to help you. We understand that sometimes there's questions that come up that not everybody always wants to put in the chat box. You can feel free to reach out to us directly. This QR code on the screen will take you directly to our calendar where you can schedule a free personalized consultation. So we'll be happy to meet with you and learn a little bit more about the planning that you've done so far and answer any questions that you have. It has certainly been my pleasure being with all of you today, and I would like to thank all of our presenters today for being here with us. Certainly been a pleasure. Everybody's going to get a copy of the slides and a link to the recording. If you are listening to this by podcast, you can reach out to us directly at contact@cpgcares.net or 281-690-1177. That's 281-690-1177, and we will be happy to provide you a copy of today's slides. Thanks so much, everyone. I hope you have a great afternoon. Take care.